Well, before we begin, let me just say that you've been a most enjoyable companion for dinner this evening.
Begin?
Everything in the universe unfolds itself at the appropriate time. This situation is no different.
Anya wasn't sure exactly which situation Ken referred to, but she didn't have time to think about it. The thugs had finally made a decision and were sliding out of their booths, making their way toward Ken, who still seemed entirely unfazed by the thought of what might happen next. The young man Anya had picked as the leader swaggered toward their booth. Ken kept his eyes on Anya and his hand on his beer glass.
I'm sorry, my companion doesn't speak Japanese. Why don't you be polite and use English? I'm sure she'd appreciate it.
You don't give me orders.
Funny, because you just followed them. Anyway, is there something I can do for you?
You're sitting in our booth.
Really? That's fascinating. How come you weren't sitting in it when we walked in? After all, you've been here far longer than we have.
You're in our booth.
The thug put both hands on the table and leaned over Ken. Anya could see his shirt sleeves inch up, exposing a twisting snake tattoo that wound its way from the edge of his wrist well up the forearm. Ken glanced at the snake and then at the thug.
You didn't use bamboo to get that tattoo, did you?
What?
Bamboo. You see, in the old days, truly tough Yakuza would insist that their tattoos be applied using slivers of bamboo dipped in ink. It was an excruciating process, by which the Yakuza would prove themselves as impervious to pain and able to withstand anything in their loyalty to their Oyabun.
Old days. Yeah, right.
That, however, looks like it was done using an electric pen like the kind they use in the cheap parlors down in Jimbocho.
What if it was?
Probably nothing at all, but it could mean that you have less tolerance for pain than you like to think. It could also mean that you're not the tough guy you like to project. And furthermore, it might very well mean you aren't Yakuza at all, but simply a poser.
Anya's eyes widened. If the tension hadn't been palpable before, it was now at the point where she could have used her sword to cut through it. The thug backed up, almost in total shock that Ken would say something like that to him in front of his group of followers. The loss of face was immense. The thug recoiled just enough to draw his right arm back, reach into his pocket, and draw a slim stiletto. He stabbed it straight at Ken's heart. Ken tugged the thug forward towards the tabletop. Ken let the young tough slump to the floor. As he did so, Anya glimpsed a fountain of blood pour from the man's nose. There was a moment of stunned silence as the gang looked from Ken to the floor where their leader lay. Anya watched as Ken evaded every strike and kick aimed at him by the gang members. One moment, they would seem locked onto him, and the next, their strikes would pass through empty air. Ken would have somehow managed to get behind them or to their side and simply apply a few key strikes to take them down. Ken had also somehow managed to contain the mayhem to their corner of the restaurant. Anya was aware that the rest of the crowd sat riveted by the action. In America, Anya theorized that the other eaters would have tried to get the hell out of there, or at least recorded the entire fight on their cell phone cameras. But in Japan, things were different. Ken surveyed the scene. Nobody else was willing to take him on. He stepped over to the thug leader he'd dispatched first and rolled back his sleeve some more. The supposedly elaborate snake tattoo ended halfway up the forearm.
Just as I thought. Well, Anya, I suppose we should leave. While I'm not at fault for this, I do so hate police interaction. Japanese cops tend to be ensconced in paperwork and bureaucracy. I have little time to waste on either.
You're supposed to be ninja. Are they dead?
No. But I imagine they'll be sore for a good few weeks.
Your bill, sir.
Arigato. 50,000 yen for a table? Only here would the management take the time to calculate the cost of repairing all of this while the fight was going on so they could have the bill ready when it was done. Crazy.
Anya took a breath and followed Ken outside. The cool air felt good on her skin. For some reason, she'd felt amazingly energized by watching the fight transpire. She'd wanted to join in, but had held herself back out of fear of jeopardizing Ken. Somehow, that sentiment seemed crazy now. Ken had handled himself unlike any fighter Anya had ever known.
You're awfully quiet, Anya. I hope that didn't upset you too much. You seem somewhat accustomed to violence, though, so I didn't think it would be a problem.
Wait, just who the hell are you exactly?
Hop back in the car and I'll tell you everything you want to know, and probably plenty that you don't.
The interior of the Mercedes sat in darkness except for the lime-green luminescence of the dashboard lights. They cast a strange pallor over Anya's skin. Ken glanced at her, trying his best to determine if he'd already scared her off or not.
So, that was some fight?
I suppose so.
I've never seen anyone handle themselves like you just did.
I'm nothing special.
Really?
Really? My skills are nowhere near what they could be. I've been somewhat lazy in recent months.
You're a ninja.
I'd prefer to say I study ninjutsu. Ninja, you know, it's got that certain stigma attached to it.
Okay then, ninjutsu. I've got a question. You told me that the Yumegakure Ryu was almost extinct.
That's right.
Well, if you're the last one left, how did you learn what you know? What I'm assuming is ninjutsu.
It's a fair question. The truth is, there are other ninjutsu Ryu still in existence. Very few, but there are some. And the man I study with is the grandmaster of three of the only remaining systems to date.
He's here in Tokyo?
No, outside of Tokyo, actually. There's a small industrial town to the northwest called Chiba-ken. He teaches there.
Ken could feel Anya's excitement rise a notch. It felt as if the car had filled with electricity. Anya looked at him, her eyes widening. Ken felt himself drawn into them, as if he could get lost in the secrets they contained. He shook himself slightly, trying to keep himself composed. Anya touched him on the arm.
I'd like to meet this man.
He teaches tomorrow night. If you like, we can go to his class then.
So, I'll meet the last grand master of ninjutsu. Cool.
Well, others claim they are, in fact, also grandmasters, but it's mostly false.
How so?
The man you'll meet tomorrow night is the only one recognized by the Japanese government as being legitimate. He's been labeled a national living treasure as well, since he helps maintain a piece of Japan's past and its traditions, even one as controversial as ninjutsu.
I've recovered a lot of treasures before. I don't think I've ever met a living treasure, though.
He'll like you.
How do you know?
Because you're beautiful, and he happens to love beautiful women.
Give me a break.
I didn't mean to upset you with that comment.
No, it's just I get tired of hearing that people either like or dislike based entirely on whether a person is attractive or not.
I meant it only as a compliment.
I know. Sometimes I think I hear it too often.
Most people wouldn't mind hearing that said about them.
Oh, I don't hear it said about me often. Mostly I hear it said about other women.
Like that other anchor on Chasing History's Monsters? What was her name? The one with the wardrobe malfunction?
Christy Chatham. She and I have differing views on how best to present a story to our audience.
Well, in her defense, there's nothing wrong with being beautiful.
But when it obscures the topic at hand, when the audience downloads a video to see a top pop off rather than the story, then that's a problem. At least it is in my book. I think I'm in the minority of opinion, though.
Probably so. But I find your journalistic integrity refreshing.
Yeah?
Yes. And I can assure you there will be no time for the wearing of bikini tops on this trip.
Great.
We're almost there.
Wait, almost where?
Your hotel, of course.
You know where I'm staying?
Of course.
She turned, and Ken could see her hands bunched up, almost as if she thought he might attack her.
I'm not stalking you, Anya, if that's what you're thinking.
I might be.
You're cautious. I certainly appreciate that. I try to be that way myself, especially when I travel.
So you understand why I'm about 2 seconds away from getting out of this car and never seeing you again.
Here. The doors are unlocked. You're more than welcome to leave. Although, honestly, I hope you don't.
Why do you know where I'm staying?
Because I'm careful about who I approach and entrust with confidential information. I like making sure people are who they claim to be.
I don't claim to be anyone but an archaeologist. That's it. If you've heard otherwise, you were misled.
Anya, I apologize for making you uncomfortable. I've been dealing with people throughout my entire life who were often not operating in my best interests. Ulterior motives are a nasty business.
Agreed.
But you are without guile. I can talk to you about the nature of my family's troubles. I can ask for your help and guidance, and I feel quite comfortable doing so.
You never know, Ken. I might just be a plant.
And there you have the reason I know where you are staying.
Yeah, well, as long as you know where it is, why don't you take me back to my hotel? I could use a good sleep.
I can do that.
Are you going to tell me why the Yakuza is so interested in you?
Wow, so much for a segue.
If I'm going to help you, I want to know what I'm getting into. What happened at the restaurant, it was more than a chance encounter. Those thugs were waiting for you.
Are you asking or saying?
I'm saying. It's a fact.
Maybe.
Were they waiting for me too?
No, absolutely not. Here we are, your hotel.
Thank you.
Door's still unlocked.
Ken.
Yes?
Ken, you seem a nice enough guy, but I don't like the thought of tangling with the Yakuza or even wannabe Yakuza. If they're interested in you and I'm around, that will make me a target of opportunity as well.
You don't strike me as being averse to danger. Some of your past adventures certainly contained far more danger than what I propose we undertake.
Well, I'm not necessarily averse to much, but I'd be a fool if I took all of this at face value. You may not want to talk about it right now, that's fine. It's late and we're both tired.
Thanks.
But we will talk about this. If you want my help in finding this Vajra, then you're going to tell me exactly what the hell is going on here. Otherwise, I will vanish, and not even you will be able to find me again.
She strode off to the hotel entrance. Ken sat in the car, and then after another minute, smiled slowly.
Anya Creed, you might just be my dream woman.